Ed Cohn in Greensboro, North Carolina, is a heartland blogger, a sort of roots blogger, not on the right coast or the left coast. He's a local global blogger. We like that, Ed. We like the spirit of that thing. I want you to tell us what it's like to work a Carolina territory with a blog.
Well, I live here in my hometown. I have a life and a career that is not in North Carolina, and much of that is enabled by the web, allowing me to file stories and report stories. So my job's in New York. I've had jobs in San Francisco.
This is a job as a writer, I should have explained. Ed Cohn is a business and technological writer. He's worked with Ziff Davis and lots of other publications, including Forbes magazine and Wired. And he also, let's not forget this, you write a newspaper opinion column for the News and Record in Greensboro.
That's true, and that's where it sort of all comes together, that I have a column which is local for a regional daily, and I take some of the stuff that I do in my national reporting and in my interest in the world, and I push it through my weblog for a local audience, and I take some of the stuff that's interesting locally, and I push it out to the world for a global audience. And so I find my weblog is sort of the nexus for all of my various interests and professional endeavors coming together. I think local weblogs are really one of the next big things.
I want to hear how they work.
Well, I mean, they work the way all weblogs work. It's just a piece of software. I think weblogs are so mystified, it's kind of funny.
But how do you find each other, and who sort of orchestrates the whole conversation?
Well, and I know y'all have one of these up in Boston. I think it's called The Hub.
Yeah, Hub Blog, but there are a lot of local blogs.
And what I've found is that the blogosphere is, of course, famously global, but it also recapitulates geography. Local bloggers seek each other out. They form networks. Here in North Carolina, a guy who puts together a weblog called Trojan Horseshoes decided to put together a group called North State Bloggers. And I don't know, there's about 30 of us now, and they're great. I mean, not all of them are great, but they're very different. They're smart. They're tough-minded. They're from all political viewpoints. Some of them are more personal. There's one guy who writes about his wedding, his impending wedding. But they, for some reason, fascinate me. For some reason, I'm really interested in reading about local stuff written by local people. And it's a very loose network. I've actually met a couple of these folks through weblogging. I've actually met them in person. But for the most part, I don't know them. And a lot of their politics I don't necessarily agree with, but they're interesting, and it's interesting to me to know what my neighbors think. So I think that that local network, that recapitulation of geography, is something that maybe a year ago or 2 years ago the visionaries overlooked.
This is fascinating to me. I think of North Carolina. I mean, we think of it as Thomas Wolfe's, you can't go home again state, but for me, it's a newspaper state, partly because when I was at the New York Times Bureau in Washington, so many of the stars there had come from North Carolina. I'm thinking of Clifton Daniel, Wally Carroll, Tom Wicker. But we think of it as a very writerly newspaper print kind of culture. Would you say blogs are penetrating it?
I think so. I think it is still a good newspaper state. Many good papers, probably a result of the fact that we have a lot of medium-sized cities in North Carolina, but no huge ones. And so you have a multitude of regional municipal papers that have had an independent history going back a century or more. You're seeing journalists at those papers have weblogs. And I will say, I think the News and Record here in Greensboro has had a very progressive attitude. My editor, Alan Johnson, on the editorial page, has always allowed me to put my weblog address at the in the kicker of my column, my little ID section. One of the lifestyle editors there, Lex Alexander, has a weblog, and one of his reporters does. So we haven't run into, in Greensboro at least, any of this stuff that has happened in Hartford and other places where editors have said, you can't have a weblog if you write for us. But I also think that culture... there's a big university culture here, obviously, in the Triangle. I think that permeates the local weblog scene. They're very literate and smart. and they're adding stuff to the local debate. Of course, they're also writing about stuff around the world. A really interesting thing about local weblogs, and I talk about the visionaries missing this point in the beginning. More than a year ago, I wrote something for Dave Weiner about weblogging, being a journalist with the weblog. And I singled out poor Jonah Goldberg in the National Review Online, who made this offhand comment, which I always talk about, and I'm sure I've talked it to death. But his point was, weblogs are limited in their effect to report news, because if you have a weblog in America, how can you report local news in, say, Baghdad or Tbilisi? Well, the point is, I can't, but I can link to a weblogger in Baghdad or Tbilisi. Yeah, that wasn't so clear a year ago, and now it's a duh. But
the Baghdad blogger is among the most famous of them all.
Sure, and rightly so. And it'll happen like that. You'll see weblogs springing up and where there's local news.
But here's my question, Ed. You're a hybrid on the newspaper and online. What do you say on your blog that you don't say in your column and vice versa? Which is more fun? Which is more you? Which is gets more readers? Which is the future?
Well, I think they're both the future. I've never been one of these weblog will replace the traditional media guys. I think that's silly. I think weblogs have actually assumed a place in the media food chain where they generate ideas and stories that now percolate up through the weblogs, whether they're opinion or reporting, now get read by big media. And inform big media. An example of that, a couple of days I wrote a piece saying, well, Tom Friedman's right, George Bush needs to focus on winning this peace over there in Iraq, but you know what? The Democrats need to focus on that too. That's a key issue. Those of us who didn't support going to war, when we went to war and how we went to war, need to step up and say, well, we are where we are. And
Does that mean we have to chase his hat, so to speak, over the wrong fence?
Right, exactly. We have a policy. It's established. We have, you know, 250,000 troops over there, and we're remaking the region. If you're a Democratic candidate, tell me what you're going to do with that. And that piece, which I wrote on my weblog, and which, you know, I read and my mom read and, you know, a couple of other people read. Well, thank you, Christopher. But Glenn Reynolds read it, and he put it on his weblog and then on his MSNBC column, and people read Glenn Reynolds. And all of a sudden, I look in my referrer log, and I'm seeing that people are coming to my weblog from the LA Times and the New York Post, and that's how it's going to work. I don't think people.
Glenn Reynolds is a new institution. He's a fascinating case. Russell Baker, 20 years ago in the New York Times, used to write about the great mentioner, who was the person who gave the nod to the nomination of presidential candidates. Well, Glenn Reynolds has become kind of the great mentioner.
He's a portal.
He's
a portal. And I think it's ridiculous to assume that the vast, healthy majority of the world that aren't web junkies are going to get all their news from weblogs, because there are too damn many weblogs. But what will happen is there will be filter points that will take vast numbers of weblogs and filter them for an audience, and that's one purpose that Reynolds serves, Dave Weiner serves in a somewhat different context. So I really think that the whole weblogs will replace traditional journalism is silly. You need editors. You need that concentration of talent. As you know, you work with your editors. You talk at the water cooler. You have a travel budget, none of which answers your original question, which is how does my column differ from my weblog?
Oh, would you hold it right there, though? I want you to stick with this food chain of... of information. I mean, you're talking about a chain that went from Tom Friedman's imagination to yours, to Glenn Reynolds, to the wider web, to news editors of conventional traditional media all over the country, and then out into the atmosphere and into space.
One hopes to Democratic presidential candidates.
Well, perhaps. What is the new food chain, and where does this make turn blogs into journalism?
There's no question that weblogs are journalism. You know, if Fox News is journalism, then weblogs are. And there's a lot of serious, thoughtful journalism in weblogs, and there's a lot of scurrilous, crappy journalism in weblogs. I hesitate to be so cliched as to say there are as many types of weblogs as there are people, but it's got to be pretty close. So the food chain, you know how it is. you could have magical, mystical powers back in the day. If you read the New York Times, you could amaze your friends by saying, guess what story is going to be on the network news tonight? Because you'd read it that morning in the Times. That's the way it went. Today, you can see what's going to be in the Times by reading a weblog yesterday.
How much do you want to claim for the bloggers in the downfall of Trent Lott, or of Howell Raines of the New York Times, for that matter?
I think that...
And starting the food chain.
Not just instigating, but keeping the drums beating, moving the story forward, getting word out about how disgruntled people were at the Times, putting the Trent Lott situation in some context. I think weblogs were very important. I think they... There's a lot of blog triumphalism out there, and it's fun, but... I don't know. I don't have an alternate universe crystal ball, so I can't say what would have happened without weblogs. But they were clearly important in keeping those stories alive and moving them forward.
Dave Weiner, as you know, wants to put a blog in the hands of every New Hampshire voter before the presidential primaries next winter. What would that do to media? What would it do to the tone of the campaign, do you think? What would it do to the, you know, the rank of serious issues?
Well, I think probably what would happen is that you would see the emergence of several filter blogs, a la Glenn Reynolds. You know, I'm not going to be able to read all those weblogs, but somebody's going to read all of them in her county, or all of them in their district, or whatever, and or all of them that follow a certain issue. And I think that you would start to see these nodes on the network. You know, Dave didn't just drink the Kool-Aid, he mixed the Kool-Aid. I'm not sure that what he's talking about is practical. I'm not sure voters are ready to embrace it. We get ahead of ourselves. I talk about this stuff all the time, and people sometimes stop me and say, what's a weblog? So I think blogging and politics is fascinating. A great example of a local story being of national interest happened here last summer.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Well, Howard Coble, our long, long-time congressman, was on a key House committee that was considering the Berman-Coble bill, which would have allowed Hollywood to have what I found to be unwarranted powers to interfere with web traffic and maybe your personal computer if they thought you were downloading music files illegally. And Coble became sort of a punching bag on the web, and Dave Weiner said, gee, it's too bad he's running unopposed. And I was able to say, well, actually, right here in Guilford County, since I'm sitting here, I can tell you he's got a libertarian challenger. And that was Tara Sue Grubb, and the web reached out to Tara and said, here's your issue. You ought to get a weblog. And for a shining moment, she really had something exciting going. She raised some money. She got a lot of publicity in papers and weblogs across the country. And, you know, it would have been really neat if she'd been able to leverage that into a credible campaign, but she wasn't. Her weblog actually wasn't very good. And I'm a big fan of Tara's. I think that...
How could she have made a weblog more useful, more lively, a real fulcrum?
Well, I think that's the key, useful. And,
I mean, Howard Dean is threatening to do it right now.
Well, I think so, and I think it's fascinating that 10 months ago, the first serious office in which a candidate had a weblog was right here in Guilford County, and 10 months later, a leading Democratic contender, if that's not an oxymoron, Democratic contender, has a weblog. But what could she have done? Well, Tara's young, she has a lot of ideas, and she tends to write in sort of an oracular style and make pronouncements about deep issues. And what I think a campaign weblog certainly for a local race needs to focus on is much more organizational, fundraising, and getting your message out there. I've thought about running for mayor here in Greensboro, and what I would do is I would go, of course, to every bake sale and every Rotary Club, as you do when you're running for local office, and I would then blog it with lots of pictures, lots of names, because that's what gets people to come look at stuff, is if they're...
Am I in the picture? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and people love that stuff. You build your brand that way. You get your message out that way. You have a contribution button on the page, And it allows you to do scheduling. It allows volunteers to coordinate. I think it could be a really powerful tool in local campaigns.
Well, in the Howard Dean case, I got to say, it shows you kind of the workshop of the man's mind. He's got a terrific instinct, a good advice for the kinds of issues to be talking about now on Larry Lessig's page. He's talking about having a blog in the Oval Office, being the first, you know, president who tells you what he did today and what he was thinking when he, you know, when he shook De Gaulle's hand or
right.
Whatever.
Right, and I think that would be great. I mean, one disagreement that Dave Weiner and I have enjoyed having over the last year is Dave thinks every politician and every CEO should have a weblog. And I think, oh my God, if I'm in the spin control business, I'm thinking there are a lot of politicians and CEOs. I don't want to have a weblog. I mean, unmediated, 2 a.m. post-fundraiser drunk blogging by Trent Lott, whew, you know, that's not good.
What does your man John Edwards, your senator from North Carolina, know about blogging? And how is he going to use it or not use it in his presidential campaign?
Well, if you look at his web presence right now, you'd say he doesn't know anything about it. But I can personally vouch for the fact he has been informed. I would say he's been whacked upside the head by Dean and Dean's fundraising. But I actually went to a high-dollar Edwards fundraiser here in Greensboro. He was fundraising for a congressional candidate. I snuck in through the back door. It was at my friend's mom's house. And so I kind of snuck into this thing, and I met him, and, you know, he's got the good hair and the puppy dog eyes, and he shook my hand. He was looking over my shoulder for somebody with some money. But, you know, I said to him, I'd love to talk to you about weblogs. It's a powerful tool. And I then buttonholed his PR guy, his press guy, and we probably talked for 15 minutes, and we had a very thoughtful conversation about the power of weblogs and where it might go. And since then, nothing. He's got a really bad web page, and it's boring. He's running a very traditional campaign. He's really focused on those early, the caucuses and on the primary in New Hampshire. And, you know, one assumes he has some sense of what he's doing. I haven't been real impressed.
Well, Dean is going to shake some people. People are already wondering. I mean, the line already out there is that Howard Dean could be for blogging what Napster didn't turn out to be, or the Napster constituency didn't turn out to be in the last campaign. But this could be a fulcrum of something or other. We'll see. Ed Cohn, we haven't even got to the Tar Heel bloggers at University of North Carolina. I want you to talk about them, but I want to come back to that first question we've been avoiding, which is, you're a newspaper columnist and a blogger. Who's the real Ed Cohn? Are there two Ed Cohns? Which one has the tone of your voice, and which one is going to be the sort of the vital player into the future?
Well, I'd say that I write my newspaper column in my own voice, but it's a more serious, perhaps more thoughtful voice. And my weblog, I can be a little more playful. I can drop an F-bomb in there if I want to. I can speak more frankly or more off the cuff. When I write a newspaper column, it's my voice, but they give me some really valuable real estate on Sunday mornings at the top of the op-ed page, and people pay for that newspaper, and I need to respect all of that. I need to be provocative and not be afraid to say things, and I don't think I am, but I need to respect my audience. And I'm
why respect them more than you respect your blog audience?
I think it's a different audience. I respect my audience. I try to respect my audience at all times. And I'll tell you, there are weblogs. If you go to Ann Slanders and you see her refer to the President of the United States as Drinky McDumbass, you know, that's funny. And if you go to the anti-idiotarian Rottweiler and see him pretty much say that everybody who's to the left of Attila the Hun is some weak-kneed liberal whatever, I get it. But that's just not my voice. And
right.
I don't really indulge in that kind of stuff on my own weblog, but I am a little bit more off the cuff. I think my weblog audience is much more national, probably hipper, probably younger. But then again, my next-door neighbor's mother is probably my best reader. and one of the biggest fans of edcohn.com. So you can't type people too much, but it's more formal in print. It's committed to print. It does represent an institution.
Is your web voice to the left of your newspaper voice?
Is it to the left of it? I wouldn't say so, because
you had a lovely piece on your blog, for example. You had a list of kind words for the French,
right,
on Bastille Day, including filet mignon and champagne and all sorts.
It was steak frites and Chateau Neuf de Pop, but those are just my tastes.
Well, it was silly and glorious and very sweet.
It was a fun thing to, but that's exactly, you know, would I, if Sunday had been, if Bastille Day had been on a Sunday, or if I'd had a column that day, I might have written that out as a column, and I would have included some actual thought in there about geopolitical relationships, and gee, doesn't it matter that Canada and Turkey and Mexico also didn't help us in the war, and a lot of more sort of substantive stuff, because I would have had to fill out 700 words. On a weblog, you can say, oh, I just had this brain fart. It's Bastille Day. Here's a funny list. I can write a one-paragraph editorial. I can throw out ephemera. I can do casual stuff. So it certainly is closer to my own voice in that I don't always speak in paragraphs.
Very nicely. Go ahead.
Well, I do, though, try to hold my weblog to a certain standard of discourse, and also of, I don't know, I try to write it. I don't throw up just, half sentences up there. I try to write my weblog because it's my voice, and that's very important to me. I'm a writer, and it's funny. You ask which one I enjoyed the most. I mean, I have a job. I've got a great job. With a great staff in New York at Ziff Davis. And then I've got a newspaper column that pays me, you know, greens fees and beer money, which I really love. And then I've got a weblog, which doesn't pay me anything. It costs me money. And the weblog I adore.
That says a lot. Ed Cohn, as we said, he's kind of hybrid. He's a local, global newspaper blog writer. Do you want to... I mean, I think you've just said that the growth sector could well be the blogging, certainly for the pleasure, for the inner man.
Well, and one day, someday, it may be a job. It may not be a job writing the blog, but you mentioned the Tar Heel Bloggers group. There's a group at the University of North Carolina that wants to promote weblogs at Chapel Hill, and a guy down there, Anton Zeicher, has whose name I probably just butchered, has a document which I've linked on my weblog called Weblogs 101, which he's used in classes there. And he's asked me if I'll come down and speak to their group, and who knows, maybe come into a journalism school class. So, you know, if that works out well, maybe I'll be teaching weblogs and have some some version of what is going on at Harvard. You never know. You just have to sort of follow your passion on this, I think. And, I think my wife used to be a little jealous of my weblog because it was like a mistress. I spent a lot of time on it. But I think you spend time on stuff you love, and good things happen.
You said it, man. Follow your passion, and blogs are a place where you can do it. Ed Cohn, it's a pleasure talking with you, and we will continue the conversation at the BloggerCon with Dave Weiner in Cambridge in October.
Yeah, I look forward to that.
Ed Cohn, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.